This is the SKG Radiology official NBL One West radio show.
Welcome along. It is the NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. Thanks for joining us for all of your local basketball action previews and reviews. We're going to be talking this week with Ben Purser, the co-captain of the Perry Lakes Hawks. We also hope to have Perth Redbacks women's superstar Mac Dyer on the show as well. And Ben Ettridge is here as always. Welcome along.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. And looking forward to speaking to the absolute workhorse that is Ben Purser about his career and where he thinks the Hawks are going to go this year. And the superstar from the weekend in Mac Dyer dropping 37 points in a game and 27 in another is pretty huge. So looking forward to talking to her and seeing how she's feeling this year and where she thinks the Redbacks are going to go in the back half of the season.
Look, we don't have anything official, but you'd have to expect that she'd be a player of the week for the women, that's for sure.
She'd be very hard done by not to be winning that footlocker voucher.
Well, look, plenty going on. We can maybe call it the resurrection round. There was certainly plenty of blowouts as well. We could call it the explosion round, perhaps, because there was a couple of 50-point victories, particularly in the men, at least anyway. There was also some upsets. The ladder-leading Joondalup Wolves in the women going down twice across the weekend and really coming back towards the pack as a result of that one.
Yeah, and we're at that sort of stage of the season where those early wins may have set you up. And if you do take your foot off the pedal, teams have now started to hit their straps and make those additions that they're going to make and make that run home for the final. So very interesting round, but as always, just great to have basketball on the agenda on the weekend.
The fixtures have now also been published through to the close of the season, so we've got all 18 rounds, and geez, it's jam-packed towards the tail end of the season because, of course, we're making up for so many of those games that were dropped earlier on, most teams having double-headers across the remaining weekends.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I think I said last week just about how people handle that. Normally, when you look at your fixtures when they come out, you're trying to look for as many single-headers on the back end of the season, just so if you are a little bit beat up, you get a chance to rest. And I think with double-headers the rest of the way, it'll be interesting to see how coaches and teams manage those players to get people ready for the finals. And if we do see a few guys maybe dropping out with a few injuries or overuse things that start to take their toll.
And speaking of beaten up, we can't go past talking about the Geraldton Buccaneers, who are severely beaten up. For people who are not aware, Aaron Ralph had a bit of a knee niggle, which has turned into an exploration that he maybe doesn't even have an ACL. So he's not playing for the rest of this season, and certainly not a laughing matter. And then also Matt Wunderburg on this Saturday night fixture for the Buccaneers. We understand that he broke his foot early in the third quarter. He was out against the Hawks on Sunday, and the Buccaneers are certainly looking very short-handed now.
Yeah, you kind of feel for Matt. Lucky to play his milestone game the night before, and then if that had happened in a week earlier, then he doesn't get that. And look, you can't think of a team that's had a worse run of injuries. They lose Liam Hunt in the West Coast Classic last year to his knee injury, and then they lose their two cornerstones of their championship team in 2019, sort of back-to-back. So tough run for Dale Joseph, and look, wishing the Bucks all the best, and hopefully they can get some experience into some young guys, which set them up for 2022.
Let's jump right in, and perhaps we'll take a look at some of the women's results from the weekend.
Yeah, Friday night, the Southwest Slammers went down to the Mandurah Magic 68-89.
Now, that was, of course, the Milo 500th milestone, which she eventually got to play there as an away game against the Southwest Slammers. She chipped in with 14 points and did well. There was also 15 points from Adams and Bogue, as they were certainly too strong for the Southwest Slammers.
And as you alluded to in the intro, the Joondalup Wolves 64 went down to the Perth Redbacks 75, led by Mac Dyer.
Yeah, that was a game that I was on the call with alongside Jake Singleton on the live stream, of course, down there. But it was a close game all the way. Neither team was up by more than 6 points until the final quarter. So the final result of 75-64 probably didn't do the Wolves any favours. Steindl was strong with 18 points, but 7 of 21 from the field. She probably missed a few that she would have normally made, which would have really helped them. Mac Dyer, who we hope to be talking to a little bit later on, only had 4 points up until half time, but Jeez. She burst onto the scene in the third quarter and ended up with 27 for the game. So she was pretty explosive and was probably the deal maker for the Redbacks in the second half. Jess Jenkins with 15 and 10, Maddie Allen with 10 and 11, also a double-double. Also want to shout it out a girl who I became familiar with via Jake, a 17-year-old for the Redbacks who I hadn't noticed before, Shanae Hartree. She chimed in with 9 points in 9 minutes and surprised me as a very steady 17-year-old.
We'll call it an upset. The Eastern Suns getting up over the Warwick Senators 87-73, and look, Friday night, I watched till half time, and the Suns were down by at least double figures, and we went in to do our pre-game talk for our game, and when we walked out, they were up by the same margin, and someone said that five different players hit five consecutive threes for the Eastern Suns. So great roll or form reversal there for the Suns, and they take the win in that one.
Well, Barr had 28 points in the loss. It wasn't enough, as you mentioned, going down by 14 points. Pretty balanced scoring. Jewel Williams with 24, Jacobs had 19, and Roscoe with 17 points and 11 rebounds. Some good form for her across the weekend.
The Wilton Tigers continued their winning ways, going 93-79 over the Rockingham Flames.
Look, Lubke is obviously one of the possible MVP candidates. She's been fantastic in that game, 25 points and 10 rebounds. Sharp had 20 and 14. And Gandini also had a strong game with 15 points, 8 rebounds and 5 steals in that winning effort. Gia Bertone, 26 points for the losers, but not enough help for her in that one.
The Wilton Tigers made it a double for the weekend, getting up over the Perth Redbacks, 82-75.
Now, this was the massive game for Mac Dye, 37 points. Unfortunately for her, it was in a losing effort. We'll break that down perhaps when we talk with her a little bit later on as well. Again, Lubke, 22-5. It seems to be traditional for her, top scoring for the Tigers. Sharp had 13 to go alongside 14 rebounds. And Gandini, again, it's that big three for the Tigers, I think, 13 points and 8 rebounds.
Saturday night continued with the East Perth Eagles 83 getting up over the Perry Lakes Hawks 71.
Perry Lakes not really hitting their straps as yet, and a lot of people are expecting them to hit them straps soon, but they're going to be running out of time before too long. It was certainly Mia Satie's most productive offensive game. She had 19 points, but it was Talia Fijo, who we spoke to last week, who seemed to embrace the Indigenous round and burst in for 17 points. Goulding was the top scorer for the East Perth Eagles, 29 points to go alongside 11 rebounds. Another female MVP candidate for me, Mary Goulding, no doubt.
And on Saturday night, the Mandurah Magic celebrated Milo's 501st game with a win over the league-leading Joondalup Wolves, giving them their second loss of the weekend, 72-63.
We had the post-match interview with Coach Nix after their first loss of the weekend, and we certainly highlighted this as a possible danger game because the Magic were bound to be up and about in celebrating Milo's 500th on the home court, of course, and that's how it turned out for them. Milo chimed in with 17 points in this game and getting the win. Steindl again strong for the Wolves with 19, and Rebecca Benson, who returned in this match with 13 points, but it wasn't enough to get them past the home side.
And a great weekend for the Eastern Suns women, finishing up with a win over the Coburn Cougars, 66-53.
It seemed to be a quiet third quarter that was the death knell for the Coburn Cougars, only scoring 9 in that quarter. The top scorers for the Eastern Suns was Roscoe with 19-7. She seems to be hitting some form recently. And Ironmonger chimed in with a double-double with 12-10. We'll take a short break here on the NBL One West radio show, and we'll be back to review all of the men's results from last weekend.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West with Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Tuesdays from 2 p.m., 897 FM. Tuesday nights from 5 p.m., Radio Mama. Wednesday nights from 5 p.m., Oz Urban Radio. Thursday nights from 9 p.m. on 98.5, Sunshine FM. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us on the NBL One West radio show for all of your local basketball action. Taking a look at the weekend just gone in the men. It started on the Friday night as the Southwest Slammers hosted the Machado-led Mandra Magic, and it was perhaps closer than a lot of people might have expected.
Yeah, closer, and quite a night for Scott Machado. I think he only got around 12 points, but Jeremy Grace continued on with his great form with 24 points, 4 rebounds and 6 assists, and again, a bit of a lone hand for the Slammers with Mitch Keller with 18. Bit of support there from Caleb Vandergrind with 18 and 11, but yeah, just too much depth in the Magic at the moment with the additions that they've made, and still waiting for Luke Travers to jump in as well.
The Perth Redbacks getting up at the HBF Arena over Joondalup 98-81. A game that I was in the 150 head count for as the caller. And the Redbacks look like they're having fun on offense and they're locking in on defense.
Yeah, they're very, very consistent now. And when we spoke to CJ, that's what he was looking for. And to get a production out of your big four, Timms with 25, Nelson with 28, Jackson with 18 and Gatorna with 14, that's great return from those boys. And for the Wolves, look, you would be hard-pressed to remember when they've gone 0-2 on a weekend, which they did this weekend. Jonathan Wade with 28, but they just seem to be losing their way a little bit. Lachie Cummings is down. 2 points for Seb Salinas, 6 for Iliadis, none for Huntington. Those sorts of numbers aren't very Wolfpack-like, and they'd be sort of hoping to turn that around if they have any aspirations towards the end of the year.
It was the return bout between the Warwick Senators and the Eastern Suns after the Suns pipped the Senators on the buzzer a couple of weeks ago, but it was the Senators up by 10 this week there at the Furnace.
Really close down to the end. I think with about 2.5 minutes to go, it was only a 3-point game, and the basketball gods just didn't bounce our way this week, and Sterling come up, well, the Senators come up with the win. Jermaine Marley was outstanding for us, though, with 29 points. I think that'd be close to a career high. Cody Ellis, though, with 21. Kid Dynamite, I'm calling him. Ethan Elliott with 18. Ali Riak with 17. Look, they're just starting to round out nicely. I think if they can keep everyone on the track, Justin King returns, they're still a title hopeful. But yeah, just too deep and too strong for us on the night.
The Willetton Tigers weekend started off well on the Friday, getting up over the Rockingham Flames 95-90. Saw the return of Tom Jervis in that one as well.
Yeah, and if you weren't looking at the ladder, you'd almost say this was an upset. But we know the Tigers are in red-hot form. And without Damian Scott, Connor Minchinton steps up with 31 points in 5 of 12 from the three-point line, which is just great. And on the flip side, another young gun, Brendan Redhead, chips in with 17 to second top score for them. Look, quiet one from Ryan Godfrey. I'm not sure whether he was injured. Only played 8 minutes or so, and that just seemed to be that extra scorer that they missed. Tom Jervis comes in with a double-double, and you know, it's good support around the place, but just that next guy that could have taken over the game. But yeah, great return for the Tigers in that one.
The back end of a double for both of these teams. The Perth Redbacks, though, 84 getting up over the Willetton Tigers, 62.
And, you know, again, Gatorna, Nelson and Timms delivering for the Redbacks. And for the Tigers, it just seemed to be just poor shooting was the tale of the tape. 37% field goals and 17% from the three-point line isn't going to get it done. And I think maybe after the night before, just really missing that veteran head of Damian Scott.
The first of two massive victories for the Perry Lakes Hawks across the weekend, getting up 112-53 over the East Perth Eagles down there at Mirrabooka, despite the injection of Lee Roberts.
Yeah, the only real resistance to the Hawks was Lee Roberts, and he was the only player in double figures with 12 points. And as we know with Lee, it takes him a little bit of time to round into his normal form. But from the Hawks, what I saw this weekend was basically them firing a warning shot across the bow of every other team in the league. 7 guys in double figures. Andrew Ferguson has a 18-17 double-double, and Matt Leary in absolutely scorching form from behind the arc with 8 of 12 on his three-pointers. So, look, they're settling into that top spot. I think it's now a race to see who can get there and be in that championship game with them if they continue on in that form.
And that Matt Leary, he missed a couple of threes right towards the end of the game as well. So yeah. I think he probably could have been 8 of 9 if not for a couple of loose threes perhaps right towards the close. You mentioned the Joondalup Wolves going down twice in the weekend, and on the Saturday night they lost to the Mandurah Magic 90-81. Again, the Magic maybe not yet clicking on all cylinders, but they were able to get that win.
Yeah, lots of good signs for the Magic. Machado steps up in this one, as I said, 26-5-8, and Jeremy Grace with 20-9 is just outstanding from your backcourt. And again, we keep harping on it, but you throw in Luke Travers and they're going to be quite the team to contend with. And again, for the Wolves, Jonathan Wade comes up with 20, and then we fall back to Jacob Formosa with 13 and not much else in support. So again, the Wolves got a few problems there they need to address. I think they've got the talent, but at the moment things just aren't clicking.
We mentioned at the opening of the show the Geraldton Buccaneers undermanned already with Ralph being down. And then during this game, the injury to Wunderburg as well on his milestone game. 91-73, the Flames getting up and bouncing back after that loss on the Friday night.
Really, really tough weekend for the Bucks when you consider it's a road trip, doubleheader, two losses, and then you know, Ralph's out for the season and now looks like Wunderburg's gone for the rest of the season as well. Great weekend for Brendan Redhead, as I said, backed up his game the week before or the night before with 17 points again, and Justin Beard chips in with 16. I guess really all the Bucks can hang their hat on is a couple of good performances over the weekend from Tane Waddy and Dylan Myers, both getting 14 points, which sort of gives them a bit to look forward to if those boys can continue to improve over the back end and be ready for 2022.
We picked it was always going to be tough going for the Giants against the visiting Lakeside Lightning. And the final result was 21 points, the Lightning getting up 85-64.
Yeah, I would hazard to think the Lightning didn't really get out of a jog when you look at the scoreboard there. The Giants, 64 points, as we've said for a while now, they really lack that direction, that one guy that's going to take the game on and get the points. And for the Lightning, they've really started to settle into their roles. Jay Bowie and Jack Eisenbarger are a dynamic duo in the backcourt. And the veteran, the president, Jared Prue with a lazy 21 rebounds. Just a great return for them. No Sherville as well. He's yet to come back in and a quiet night there for Kyle Armour. The Lightning will be very happy on the way back to Perth from that game in Kalgoorlie.
I noticed that Pizarro made his return from injury, but he was probably a little hampered, lower minutes than we might usually expect, and just 8 points from him.
Yeah, look, like I said, he was the one that was giving him that focal point. And if he's off, then again, it's a big change in role for guys halfway through a season. So, yeah, tough one there.
The Coburn Cougars, they were hungry for a win, and they managed to get one over the Eastern Suns, who I sense were perhaps a little bit depleted after that big Friday night sort of matchup. Not a lot left in the tank, perhaps, going down 101-71.
Yeah, well, you could look at it like that. You could also look at it that the Cougars are a much better team than what the ladder position shows. For them, Xavier Chan was great in this one, 21 points. Gavin Field has 21. And for us, there's just not enough contributors. When your leading scorer is 15 and then Chris Johnson has 12, Ryan Blanchard had the 15, and then, you know, we're not a team that's been absolutely run into the ground, and we're not going to use fitness as an excuse. I think it's more the what's going on between the ears when we turn up and get beat by 30 on a Saturday night. So, but still half a season to go. Hopefully we can turn it around.
The second of Perry Lakes Hawks' 50-plus point wins for the weekend happened at midday on Sunday down there at Bendat. It was 118-67 against the Geraldton Buccaneers, the injury-riddled Geraldton Buccaneers.
Yeah, and Muo comes up with 16 and Tane Waddy has 13 to continue his good weekend, but it was the Matt Leary show again. 25 points, 8 on 9 three-pointers. Goes 16 of 21 for the weekend. He'd be my pick for the men's player of the week this week. And then Andrew Ferguson has a lazy 25 and 10. They've slotted in Ferguson and Lewis Thomas very nice into that group. And again, the title goes through Perry Lakes this year for mine.
We'll take a break on the NBL One West radio show. On the other side of this, we'll be speaking with Ben Purser from the Perry Lakes Hawks. We've got Mac Dyer from the Perth Redbacks ladies still to come. And of course, before the hour is out, Lost SBL will be coming your way as well. It's the NBL One West radio show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
It's the NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. And as promised, we're on the line by the co-captain of the Perry Lakes Hawks men. It's Ben Purser. Welcome along to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Well, I'll jump right in. And, of course, we've got you on to talk about the milestone and everything that's happening down there at Hawks. So, it's taken you a good number of years, but you're now the all-time games record holder for the Perry Lakes Hawks recently, overtaking Tanya Kelly, I understand.
Yes, that's correct. She was around when I first started.
Okay, so you did cross paths. Did you give you some...
Yep, for a season or two.
Some well wishes on that one?
She did actually leave a video recorded message that the club kind of organised a few of the old legends to do during the last week or so. So that was, nice to hear.
Look, it's always great to get these milestones. What does it mean to you in particular, I guess, having them all at one club, which is probably a little bit unusual?
Most of the previous game games milestones haven't actually meant that much to me. They're just kind of a number. But I think this one in particular was a little bit special in that, you know, it means no one else at the club has played as much as you have. And, yeah, to be at the one club obviously means a lot to me. As much as Perry Lakes has kind of meant to me since I, you know, first started playing in the junior comp when I was probably 5 years old for Subiaco. So, yeah, it's been a huge part of my life. So it certainly, yeah, did mean a lot to me.
And Ben, you're tracking very nicely at the moment there. Your team's welcomed on board Lewis Thomas and Andrew Ferguson, and you seem to be sort of taking care of business only too well that we know the Perry Lakes Hawks can.
Yeah, it's been really seamless kind of integration with those two. Both just like super dudes, but also basketball-wise, have been like a perfect fit, I think, for what we needed. Has really helped me out as well. Being able to kind of swing between the three and the four, and having Louis being so versatile and long, and also Ferg at the five, he's pretty mobile, and it kind of fits our system that we play at the moment too, on offense and defense. So yeah, it has been really good, and so far I think we've been pretty happy with the way we've been playing. Dropped a couple of games, but yeah, otherwise I think we've got a really good mix of experience and kind of youth coming through as well. So yeah, certainly can't complain.
I think if anyone told you before the weekend you were going to win both games by more than 50, particularly with Lee Roberts joining the Eagles, I'd wondered if that was maybe a bit of a danger game depending on what impact he would have had. You probably would have taken that, I imagine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the actual milestone game on Friday was ended up playing only 18 minutes and not getting on in the fourth, so that was good considering we had the game at midday the next day against Gero. But both East Perth and Geraldton had their moments during those games. Gero in particular were pretty depleted with Ralphie out and Wunderberg didn't play, but I'm sure as Lee gets more reps with the Eagles too, they'll certainly bounce off the ladder a bit as well.
We may take a quick break here on the NBL One West Radio Show, and we'll be back with Ben Purser, co-captain of the Perry Lakes Hawks.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show, Brett and Ben with you. And we're also on the line with another Ben. It's Ben Purser, the co-captain of the Perry Lakes Hawks, recently becoming the most, I want to say the most capped player, but it's not really a basketball term, but certainly the game's record holder down there at Perry Lakes. Ben, the back end of the season is pretty busy because we've squeezed a whole lot of games, obviously, that have been missed in some of the earlier rounds. How do you think things are shaping up for Hawks in this tail end of the season, particularly given that some of the other squads have had some big additions, of course, as well?
Yeah, it's a pretty big critical time for us, and we kind of spoke at training this week. I think we've got double headers for the next 4 weeks, plus a Mandra game to slot in there on a Tuesday that we missed due to COVID last week. So it is actually, yeah, the very, very kind of busy time, especially for me too. The double headers aren't as easy as they used to be nowadays. But I think, yeah, we'll know a lot kind of coming out of this. Like, we'll be pretty battle tested, I think. And I'm kind of looking forward to playing these teams that have added guys, especially like Mandra with Machado and Travis coming in. It's going to be fun. We were hoping to play them, yeah, last week, as I said, in front of the packed house at home. But yeah, that wasn't to be. So we'll get them, I think, early August on a Tuesday night.
And as we sort of roll into the back half of the season, who are you guys sort of not keeping your eyes on, but you know, who are you, who do you think is going to be your main competition? You sort of seem to be handling things quite easily at the moment. Where do you think that's going to come from?
I think Lakeside will be tough. The game we had against them was a real battle, and they didn't have Sherville that game either, and he's obviously a huge in for them. So we play them this Friday night, so that's going to be a real good contest. We lost to Warwick. We had a few out, myself included, when we played them, so I didn't get to have a good look at them. But yeah, looking forward to kind of the rematch against them, obviously. Mandra too, with those additions. I think Willerton have been in good form. They seem to be playing real good kind of team basketball. And I think the other one maybe is Rocco, once, you know, Jervis and Greg kind of get back into their kind of typical form. I think they're going to be pretty dangerous. And they beat us earlier in the year without them. So, yeah, I think there are a few dangerous teams around that you can probably get up. And I think with the finals not being a best of three this year, I think they're all one game. So on the night, I think anyone can kind of beat anyone.
You mentioned earlier that the old double headers are not getting any easier. Having now set that game record milestone, have you given any thought to the future? Is there at least a few seasons left in the tank for Ben Purser? And I know you've got your obviously professional career and things to balance as well.
Yeah, I think so. Each year I'll probably just evaluate like year by year. But I think I'm pretty keen to play next year, and probably me and Ryan Smith might go off on the same terms. And we've joked that we'd like to run the bar at Perry Lakes once we're done playing. So I think we'll see how we go, and that can be the next chapter.
Sounds good to me. You're sitting atop of the ladder at the moment. Now, if we take a look officially, that 12-2 record, you mentioned the Lightning, of course, as well, and the Tigers, both 11-2, the Rockingham Flames, 9-6. And you didn't mention, actually, the Redbacks, who seem to be, you know, really improving. When you guys had them the other week, it was, I think, Marshall Nelson's only first or maybe second game in, so they weren't quite clicking, but they certainly seem to be firing across the weekend.
Yeah, I probably overlooked them. We have had two good wins against them, and probably won't see them unless it's in finals, but yeah, I think with Marty back in that rotation, it does make it. It's exactly what they were kind of missing in that first game against us. Someone to kind of create a bit for them on the perimeter, and yeah, they got some weapons out there. So yeah, that's another team to add to the mix for sure.
And of course, Mandra would be a dangerous one if you know if they don't pick their position up too much more, and they end up being a sixth or fifth or something. It'd be a pretty tough first round sort of draw to end up with a Machado and Travers led Mandra Magic, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. And I'm sure Big BC would be pretty motivated to come up against us. He seems to get up for the big games too. So, yeah, that would be a tough first-round matchup if that was to happen.
Sure would. Well, look, we really appreciate your time and having a chat with us on the NBL One West radio show. Congratulations once again on that milestone, the all-time games record holder there at the Perry Lakes Hawks. And I can't imagine anyone beating that mark anytime soon, because it took you all since being an 18-year-old to get to this point, didn't it?
Yeah, started when I was 18, so yeah, it'll be a while for someone who wants to chase that down,
I'm
sure it'll get broken at some point.
Well, thanks again for your time, and all the best for this tail end of the NBL One West season.
Thanks, fellas.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time, and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
It's the NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. And as promised, we always deliver. We've got on the line Mac Dyer, one of the players from the Perth Redbacks, after a big weekend. Welcome along.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Pleasure. Thanks for getting involved in the NBL One West radio show. Now, we spoke of a big weekend. It's not often that you score 37 points. You also had 27 the night before, so it was a very productive weekend for you personally.
Yeah, it was a big weekend. We knew coming in we were going to have some big games, with Wolves being number one at the time, and then we ended up knocking them off, and then we ended up playing the new number one team in Willerton. So it was a really big weekend. So I knew I had to come up pretty big. So I didn't know 37 was going to happen, but I'll take it.
Well, I was explaining to Ben, because I was on the call for your Wolves game, and look, it was pretty neck and neck, certainly for the first half and even into the third quarter when you started exploding and scoring. And it was really that fourth quarter only when you were able to build on a good lead and bring it home.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be a tough game. And for myself, Jeff and Dell, we always love playing against the Wolves, since we have a lot of former teammates and our whole former coaching staff. So we knew it was going to be a good game. But look, they're a tough team, you know. And Kayla Sando's an amazing player. So we knew we were going to have to give it our best. So Yeah, we kind of went back and forth, and then we ended up kind of gapping them a little bit by maybe like 8 or 10 in that fourth, and then I think we kind of held on to it. But yeah, it was pretty much neck and neck the whole game. It was a pretty good one.
I was in the post-game interview with Coach Charles Nix, and he joked with us to say the Redbacks can thank me for bringing Mac out to Australia.
Yeah, he never lets me forget that one.
Fair enough.
So even when I was down in Bunbury a couple of years ago, he said the same thing. But no, it's always good fun with Nixie, and he's a great guy. When I first came out to Perth, I spent a lot of time with him and his family, so it's always good playing against him, and it's even better beating him. So.
Yeah, look, that second half performance, when Brett explained to me, the first thing that jumped into my mind is, can you share with us what was in your water bottle? Because I've got 12 boys up the hill that might want to have the same stuff. Or is it just that motivation and maybe knowing what the opposition coaching staff are going to try and throw at you that sort of gave you that little bit of an edge?
Yeah, look, and they had a great scout on me. They put somebody different on me because we actually played them 3 weeks before that. And they held me, I think it was maybe to 4 points or something like that at halftime. So they did a really good job, and I actually just was a bit frustrated at myself. But I knew I was going to have to perform a bit better than that if we were ever going to pull away. So I think it just was a little bit of kind of frustration within myself, but also a lot of motivation just, you know, to play that way for my teammates, because I really felt like we could, you know, get the win. But I was obviously going to have to perform a little bit better, and luckily I had some Powerade, so that was good too.
Oh, that's the only tip you've got, is it Powerade? Fair enough.
Yeah, I think it was red, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. I'm writing that down. Very good. As we speak.
And then the Tigers, as you mentioned, then was the follow-up game. They've certainly a pretty strong team this year, and have now, as you said, taken over the top position.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd never played against Alex Sharp before, but she's an awesome player, and obviously that shows with her work that she's done with the Lynx and with the 3-on-3 stuff. But yeah, she was, you know, they're a tough matchup for us. Obviously, we're a bit undersized, only really having Maddie as a true kind of, you know, big center. So just her and Lubke was just a really tough matchup for us, and they actually shot the ball really well, and we started off pretty poorly. So if you give, you know, the best team in the league a, you know, 10-15 point gap, that's going to be really hard to come back from.
I was really impressed on Friday night with a player I hadn't come across before, a 17-year-old called Shanae Hartree, who seemed very confident beyond her years, scored 9 points in 9 minutes. How is she coming along?
Oh, Shanae's great, and she's a nice little player. And, you know, she's very young, and you almost forget how young she is when she's out on the court. But then when you get off the court, you know, she's talking about how she's got her year 12 exam. So
right.
It's a bit crazy for her to have that talent. But, yeah, she's been a great addition for us to have, just being able to come in and kind of back up Jay and back up Maddie. And she can also shoot the three. So I think, you know, when she gets a little bit more muscle on her, I think she's going to be a real problem in the league in the next couple of years.
Now, this weekend, it looks like you've got the Lakeside Lightning at home on Saturday. That would be another one you'd be looking to get.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we're feeling pretty confident, even though we didn't win on Saturday. We thought we ended up having a pretty good fight left in us in the fourth quarter. We brought it, I think, down to 4 at one point. So we feel good being able to split against those two teams. So we're going to try and take that momentum in with us into this weekend, and hopefully we can get another win.
Well, we certainly wish you the best for the tail end of the season. We will ask you to stick around and help us preview all of the games coming up this weekend. We're on the line with Mac Dyer from the Perth Redbacks here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk bill Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It is the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett and Ben with you. We're still on the line with Mac Dyer, a player at the Lady Perth Redbacks. We'll just have a look, Mac, at the upcoming games on the weekend. I can see that the Southwest Slammers are hosting the Coburn Cougars on Friday night. The Southwest Slammers, they haven't really had any luck so far this year. What were your views on them when you played against them?
Yeah, look, they're really, really young. And I played in Bunbury back in 2019. And, you know, pretty much all those kids that are playing now were kind of our development players. So they're just lacking a little bit of experience. So, you know, while those kids are playing hard, I just think that they're just missing a little bit of, size and also probably just experience in the league.
And also on Friday night, the Lakeside Lightning take on the Perry Lakes Hawks. So other than maybe a triple overtime game there for the Lakeside Lightning, what would you expect out of that one?
Yeah, no kidding. I don't know. That should actually be a pretty good game. I think they're pretty close to each other on the ladder. We haven't obviously played Lakeside yet. We ended up playing Perry Lakes a couple weeks ago when we played really well against them. But I think Lakeside have been going all right, so I might tip Lakeside for that one. I think they're going to split the weekend, though.
Good call, good call. Eastern Suns on Friday night as well are hosting the East Perth Eagles, who have probably been one of the form teams in recent weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, Blake's doing an awesome job with those girls. You know, to be where they were at last year, now they're all the way, you know, kind of sitting in that top four. So I'd probably tip them for that one. I think we were lucky when we really caught them pretty early on. We played them twice in our first five games. We ended up getting them both times. But I think they're really kind of on a roll now. And Mary Goulding is a phenomenal player. So I think she's going to be a matchup problem for anybody.
I think we've well covered the Saturday night fixture at 5 p.m., the Perth Redbacks hosting the Lakeside Lightning. We'll tick that one off for your tip as the Redbacks. So we'll move right to the Joondalup Wolves facing the Warwick Senators. Potentially a fantastic matchup, that one.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds like a great game. I wish I could watch it. But, yeah, I think I'm probably a little bit biased just because I came from Warwick. I didn't, unfortunately, get to play with them for that COVID kind of season, but I'll probably say Warwick for that one, which might be a little bit of a controversial pick, but I just think Stacey Barrs is just phenomenal, and I was really a bit upset that I didn't actually get to play a proper season with her, but yeah, I think she's just tough for anybody, and she's really been on a roll lately with, you know, a couple big 30-point and almost 40-point games. So yeah, I think I'm going to tip Warwick for that one.
Well, it probably goes well into, I made a top five for my MVP in the season sort of to date. I've got yourself obviously in there. I've got Kayla Steindl. I've got Goulding, Lubke and Barr. And of course, Barr was the winner back in 2019 and she's still doing big things with Senators at the moment, isn't she?
Oh, definitely. I mean, and they played really well. And the last time we played them, they absolutely pumped us and she had about, I think 30 plus that game. So, you know, when she, you know, she can shoot the ball, but she's also really, really good inside. And especially being an undersized guard, she's just so crafty and, you know, she can do everything. She's up there in rebounds as well. So when you have a player like that, like you said, she's a past MVP. It's really, really hard to stop. So I think if she gets going, I think Wolves will have a tough time with her.
And the final game of the round is the Mandurah Magic against the Williton Tigers. What are your thoughts on that one?
Look, I think Williton is probably at this point, probably the best team that we've seen. So I'm going to have to tip Williton. I just don't think anybody's going to have an answer for Sharp and Lubke, that pair. I think they're really, really tough inside. So I'll probably go with Williton for that one.
I'm calling them the big three, Lubke, Sharp and Gandini together. They're pretty formidable lineup and seem to always be in double figures, points and rebounds almost between all of them.
Yeah. Look, and we struggled, you know, exactly with those three right there. And Gandini is really, really good defender. And she also is really scrappy and gets those kind of loose balls and rebounds as well. So I think, they're definitely going to make a run at that. Hopefully we can make a run as well. But I definitely can see Williton going pretty far.
Well, we appreciate your insights and time once again. Thanks so much, Mac, for joining us on the NBL One West Radio Show.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me, guys.
Now get to training before you get told off by coach.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks very much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back. It is the NBL One West Radio Show. Thanks for joining us. I'm assuming you love basketball if you're listening in, and we love it too. And there's plenty of action going on here in the local NBL One West. Looking ahead to this weekend, the Southwest Slammers in the men will host the Coburn Cougars on Friday night, 8:30 p.m. tip-off at Eaton.
As I said before, the Cougars, they're standing on the ladder belies what they are truly capable of. And I think after their performance against us last weekend, I think the Slammers will be a little bit undermatched in this one. Gav Field seems to be returning to form, and Nick Posoglu seems to have fully recovered from his concussion earlier in the season. He was very good against us, so I'll tip the Cougars in this one.
Certainly a potential candidate for game of the round as the next one. The two ladder leaders, I guess you would say, the Lakeside Lightning hosting the Perry Lakes Hawks there at Lakeside Rec Centre.
Yeah, and as when we spoke to Ben Purser, he mentioned this one, that they'd got the Lightning earlier in the year, and they were sort of looking at these guys as being someone as a contender for that title. Hopefully both teams are fully loaded. Sherville back for the Lightning will make this one very interesting. Given that it is at Lakeside and they do shoot the ball very well there, I said this last time that might be their tipping point against the Hawks, and the Hawks actually shot them off the floor, but I think the Lakeside will get this one in the return bout.
Also on Friday night at Ray Owen Sports Centre, the Eastern Suns hosting the visiting East Perth Eagles, 8:30 p.m. tip-off as well for that one.
I'd see this one coming down to the battle of the benches. I think that if you look at the lineups, Lee Roberts and Chris Johnson pretty much cancel each other out. Brendan Donato and Kieran Berry cancel each other out. It's going to come down to who else wants to step up and take this game. And as we've seen with these teams that are in similar positions on the ladder, they usually are very, very good. It's at home for us. We've come off a couple of good wins, so I'll go with us this weekend, but it'll be a very close game, and looking forward to seeing Lee Roberts step up and take this one by the scruff of the neck for the Eagles.
Both teams would certainly see it as a gettable game, so they'd be really up and about for this one, you'd expect. Looking at the Saturday night then, the Perth Redbacks hosting the Lakeside Lightning. So the Lightning, of course, coming off that game against the Perry Lakes Hawks. Maybe they'll be a little beaten up after that fixture. 7 p.m. tip-off at Belmont.
Yeah, travelled back from Kalgoorlie on the weekend, which does tend to take its toll. Championship contenders in the Lightning versus championship hopefuls in the Redbacks. And look, I really do like what CJ's got the Redbacks doing at the moment. The Lakeside Lightning, given that it is the back end of a doubleheader coming back from the Giants, I want to go Redbacks in this one. At home for the Redbacks. Redbacks for me.
The Perry Lakes Hawks also back up. They're hosting the Southwest Slammers on Saturday there at Bendat, 7 p.m. tip-off for the men.
Yeah, if I remember back when we discussed this one earlier in the season, we said it wasn't going to be pretty for the Slammers, and I don't think this one will be any different. I think the Hawks will be fired up after a loss the night before. Coach Parsons will be looking for a lot of heart from his boys in this one, and they'll get up over the Slammers easily.
A couple of teams with recent losses, perhaps looking to turn things around again. The Joondalup Wolves will host the Warwick Senators at HBF Arena, 7 p.m. for the men.
Most definitely the Wolves coming off two losses, something that they don't do very often, and the Senators back in the win column after losing three in a row the week before. So, look, this time last year I would have said the Senators, and I'll go again with the Senators this time around as well. I think they played very well against us. I don't know what the Wolves have got up their sleeve. A big performance from Lachie Cummings is what they need. Whether or not he's got it in him, I'm not sure, but the Senators are too balanced, and I'll tip them in this one.
The East Perth Eagles at home on Saturday, 7 p.m. against the visiting Geraldton Buccaneers.
I think it's two road trips in a row for the Bucks down here is going to be too much for them. Although we did see some good signs from some of the younger players, but East Perth will get this one at home.
The other contender for the game of the round is, of course, the Mandurah Magic hosting the Willetton Tigers at home. You mentioned a return bout from Machado's first game, in fact.
Yeah, this game was a sellout at the Willetton Tigers Stadium when he played his first game, and I think it might be the same with the top of the table Tigers heading down to Mandurah for this one. Really great game. Be interested to see how much Michael Vigor can impact on this game. Hopefully Damian Scott's back. Like, we want to see these teams fully loaded when they're playing. This one's going to go right down to the wire. Damian Scott does have a habit of making big shots in big games when they come down to the wire. So I'm going to go the Tigers on the road.
if you are in the local area and you wanted to check that one out. 7 p.m. tip-off there, Mandurah Aquatic and Rec Centre. Wondering whether Luke Travers, he'll have to appear before too long. Maybe he'll get a gig in that home one as well.
I think he was just waiting to get out of quarantine. He's been announced as one of their guest coaches for the week in the Magic's holiday camp. So you would expect he might be suiting up in this one.
The Goldfield Giants with two games across the weekend, both of them at home. The second of these games actually a make-up from round three cancelled action. The first game sees them host the Rockingham Flames Saturday night, 7 p.m.
This one for me comes down to how many people, not how many people, but who's on the bus for Rockingham. Greg Heyer and Tom Jervis are taking up full rows down the back of the bus. Then I believe the Rockingham Flames will win this one. But if they're not on the bus, I think the Giants will get up and get this one done.
In the second match, the Goldfield Giants welcome the Coburn Cougars, who would have already travelled down to the southwest on Friday night. And then by Sunday afternoon, they're going to be in the Goldfields.
Yeah, one of those COVID cases that we've got where just to make up these games, we've got to, jump on a bus and do these things, which is what we want. We want to be playing basketball. Look, I think the this one, again, will come down to who was there the night before for the Flames. If the Goldfield Giants get up and get a win, I think the travel will be too much for the Cougars. However, another loss on the belt there for the Giants might be enough to knock the confidence out of them, and the Cougars will get it. So, yeah, look, a lot's going to be determined by what happens on Saturday night in this one.
And the final Sunday fixture at midday, Warwick Stadium, the Senators hosting the depleted Geraldton Buccaneers.
Doesn't get any easier for the Buccaneers. And, look, I think the Senators have had their little speed bump a couple of weeks ago, and they're now starting to get really focused in on the finals. I was really impressed with Ethan Elliott and Allier Riak, who seemed to give them those extra scoring punches behind Caleb and Cody while they're awaiting the return of Justin King. So the Senators will get this one on Sunday for me.
There's certainly plenty of action for you to check out across the weekend. No excuses. You can go live to your local stadium or association or check it out online, nbl1.com.au/west, or download the NBL One app. We'll be back after this to round things up and also to have our Lost SBL segment back by popular demand.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
We're back to round things out here on the NBL One West radio show. But first, we take a look at our Lost SBL segment. It was our local league for 30 years between 1989 and 2019. And this week, we're taking a look at 1999. I guess that means we're 10 years in already. This was the year in the men that the Southwest Slammers went back-to-back.
Back-to-back championships, nothing to be sneezed at there. And James Fitch and the boys really taking hold of the league and running it for a few years to come.
The Bunbury City Slammers, as they were known then, were the league ladder leaders at the end of the regular season with a 21-5 record. They faced off in the grand final against the Redbacks, who were second during the regular season, and they got up 89-73.
Yeah, great. Another tough game. And look, at this stage, James Fitch was well cementing his nickname as Big Game James. I spoke to James a year back, and he spoke about how he never won an MVP, but he'd won five finals MVPs, and which is just a testament to him and what he could do in these final series. So, but a great run definitely becoming evident here for the Slammers.
CJ Jackson was actually the coach of the year that year. He was at the Redbacks now, but back then he was with the Magic.
Yeah, done the hard times through the Magic in the early years, and I think it was through the advent of, I don't know how it happened, but Anthony Stewart wound up on the Magic, and some good times for us there. Still remember Stewie dropping 50 in a few games and stuff like that, but CJ in the now defunct role that was quite popular back then as the player coach as well. So not only was he dishing out double figure assists, but he was also head coach at the same time.
Matt Foster at the Tigers was actually the league MVP in 99.
Yeah, so the first of a run of Australian-born MVPs. So Matt Foster was an undersized big man, went over and played at the Oregon Institute of Technology and came back for the Tigers. And, yeah, great low-post player, very tough rebounder, just stayed in his box and did what he did, and a great a great servant of the Willetton Tigers.
Looking at the women's competition, and an interesting but heartbreaking story in 1999 for the Perry Lakes Hawks, who went undefeated in the regular season, 20-0. They won their semi-final against the Cougars 2-0, only to go down in the grand final to the Redbacks 74-66.
Sometimes that happens. The team that finishes top of the table and for whatever reasons aren't ever put in those situations where they do have to dig deep or something doesn't quite go right on the night, and they don't come away with the win. But a well-deserved championship there for the Redbacks.
Coach of the year that year, Rick Morcombe, with the Hawks, of course.
Yeah, would be hard-pressed to go past someone going 20-0 in the regular season and not award them Coach of the Year.
Melissa McClure was also the women's MVP, also at the Hawks, so a very successful season for them, although not getting the eventual championship.
Yeah, Melissa McClure also playing in the WNBL at that stage, extremely talented small forward, if you will, could shoot from outside and very strong on the low block.
Well, next week, of course, we'll take a look at the year 2000 as we start to bring things a little more up to date for you. A few extra things happening across the weekend. It looks like there's a 200 games for a Coburn player.
Yeah, Jared Holmes chalks up 200 games. Saw him firsthand on the weekend and still looks as sprightly as ever, still going left. But, congratulations to Jared Holmes.
Big news, of course, out of the Perth Wildcats camp. There's been plenty of player movements, and now Trevor Gleeson also heading stateside, perhaps, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's always interesting when a coach moves on, and especially when it's one that's been as successful as Trevor Gleeson. But I think, change is as good as a holiday, and I know he's been chasing these sorts of opportunities for a while, and things must just have all fallen into place for him and his family for him to move on.
Now, I know that Matt Nielsen has obviously been looking at making that jump to the NBA as well, but he seems an obvious choice as a previous assistant at the Wildcats. He's got some Perth connections as well. I wonder if he'd have to at least be on their shopping list, surely.
Yeah, well, that was the conversation that I was having today, that they would be looking towards that NBA, similar to the way the Sydney Kings have gone in the last couple of years. And Nielsen, I think, is pretty entrenched there at the Spurs, coaching the Austin Spurs, their G League affiliate. So whether or not it is him, but you'd think someone of a similar resume would be definitely on the Cats' agenda.
An interesting timing as well, with Roth leaving the Wildcats to get a head coaching job in Tasmania, and now the Perth Wildcats head coaching job, of course, becomes available.
Yeah, just one of those things where the stars don't quite align. The opportunity comes up for Scott Roth to move mid-season. I'm sure in a perfect world they would have loved that succession plan to be in place, as they've done so successfully with their assistant coaches, with someone like Luke Brennan now moving up into an assistant coaching role from a video tech role. So, I'm sure the new ownership there at the Cats have a plan for what's in store, and we can be sort of seeing that someone of a high name being brought in very soon.
One more for you that may have been a natural fit, and he is head coaching now at Cairns, Adam Ford. So had he not already signed up with Cairns, maybe he could have been in the mix as well?
Yeah, and again, sometimes the stars don't quite align for these sorts of things, and for whatever reasons, opportunities come along at different times, and you've got to do what's best for your family and what's best for you, and sometimes having a job in this coaching world is just as important as where it is. So taking one to make sure you've got one, because you never know when you're going to get that tap on the shoulder and be asked to move on. So, Ford would have been a welcome addition, I'm sure.
Well, thank you once again to Ben Purser and Mac Dyer, who joined us on this week's show, and also to Ben Ettridge, my regular partner in crime. Thank you once again.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. That's it for this week on the NBL One West radio show.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.